بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ووالاه أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So we're continuing on our series As-Sunan Al-Ilahiyya, Divine Consistencies. And in this juz, we're taking a look particularly at Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah number 20, in which Allah Ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عُوْدُ اللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ لَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَنْظُرُونَ الْعَامَ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً تَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. And we did not send before you any messengers except that they ate food and walked in the markets. And we have made some of you as tests or trials to others amongst you. Will you have patience? And your Lord is always ever seen and all seen. So there's a number of points that can be extracted here. First and foremost, this seems to be a response to ayah number 7, which the disbelievers were criticizing. Why is God sending men? He eats like us, he has to work in the markets. And you can imagine, if you have a nice business, and then this person comes along and says, I'd like to buy some of your whatever, vegetables, fruits, whatever. Oh yeah, the price is this, the price is that. Now you play with it, get me. And now you're thinking to yourself, is this really God's business? I can hike up the prices, I can make things difficult for him. Like, I have some control over his life. And so it makes you question, is this a fitna for us? Yes. If somebody comes up to you in the message and says, brother, I have some advice, you could be thinking, I saw what type of car you drove in here with. Like, let's be honest, you're going to give me advice? You don't have the answers. Whatever you're thinking that, they're not the answers. Right? That happens. This is a sense of arrogance, but the fact is, Allah Ta'ala is clarifying that this is not what the truth is based upon. Anyhow, Allah Ta'ala is highlighting here that all of the messengers would interact with the people, eating with them and working with them in the marketplaces and so forth. Why? It's a very important principle. Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us, المؤمن الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم أعظم أجرا من المؤمن الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم. That the believer who interacts with the people and is patient with their frustrated qualities, you know, gives them da'wah, deals with their responses and argues, whatever, he has more ajr, he has more reward than the one who just isolates himself, I'm done with people, I'm too frustrated, I'll just be by myself. This is not part of our deen. This idea of monasticism, which we'll take a look at in Surah 57, Surah Hadith, Rahbaniyah, it's mentioned there. This is not part of our deen. This is also a refutation to the idea that, if you are righteous enough and have tawakkul, then you don't have to work. All of the anbiya worked. They all went to the markets, they all dealt out, they all worked to get their rizq. But the big question that I have in terms of this ayah, that I think is fascinating, what is the correlation between these two sentences? One is saying all prophets used to eat and be in the market, okay. And then you people are fitna to each other. You as human beings, you have to realize no relationship is perfect. Anybody thinking I'm gonna get married and everything's gonna be just nothing but roses, it doesn't work like that. Your family, even your spouse, even your parents, all your friends, everybody that you work with, in some degree or another, they're fitna. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing, it means it's a test. And a test can either be a blessing or a curse, depending on how you react. So if you choose to pass that test, mashallah, it's a blessing. If you fail that test, it's going to be a curse. So you decide the outcome. So it's a very important point here, but what is the correlation between these two concepts? Well, to Adam, when we shop, we're either buying products, right, shopping mall, or we're buying groceries, food, etc. And these are all types of consumption. Since we humans have infinite desires, and yet we have finite resources, just one planet that we have. So, when you have this combination of infinite desires and finite resources, then consumption can easily become a point of contention. This is why we make fitna for each other in general, but more specifically, we make fitna for one another regarding our consumption. Why? Because I want what he has, and so on and so forth. If I take more for myself, it's going to be less for everybody else. Bigger slice of the pie, etc., etc. So, there's also something very important, which is the fact that the Anbiya alayhimussalam were known by their people. Allah Ta'ala says, فَقَدَ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمْرًا. I used to live with you a whole lifetime, don't you realize? The Prophet ﷺ lived with these people for 40 years. Allah could have sent wahi at 20, at 30, but Allah sent him wahi in Revelation at 40. Why? It's a very important concept here. Because he needed to have lived with them for a lifetime first. Doing what? Allah is highlighting doing what? Eating with them, and shopping with them, and spending with them. Why? Because if I could be Mr. Nice Guy here, in front of you all, the minbar, etc. But when it's time for iftar, how do I behave towards food? Do I demonstrate that I'm grateful or that I'm wasteful? A topic that keeps coming up. No matter how many times we talk about it, I still see just today so much wasted food. Are you patient? Yeah, that's okay, brother, you go ahead first. Or are you the type of person, get out of my way, get out of my way. I need to scoop first. I've seen people, not here, don't worry, mashallah, you guys are all perfect. But somewhere else, far from here. I remember seeing somebody, subhanAllah, who was at an iftar where there was interfaith. We had non-Muslims, I said, let them eat first. Just get out of my way, wait, no, he made such a, it was so bad. It was so embarrassing to see a Muslim behave this way. When I'm hungry, I don't get no one gets in my way, I said, subhanAllah. Anyway, it didn't go well, but thank you. So, when you're eating, do you show that you share with others, or that you are greedy, that you're open-minded, or that you're picky? No, I only want this. I only taste the best of the best, and I won't try your food. Are you sloppy and messy and splashing everything, or are you careful and respectful? Are you moderate, or are you gluttonous? Do you eat too much, or do you eat in a moderate amount? So, how somebody eats says a lot about them. Somebody can come with a fancy message, but maybe they're a charlatan. Pay attention to their life, see how they eat, and then more important is, inshallah, how they spend. When you go to the mall, how do you walk? Are you walking conscientiously, swiftly moving with intent? Are you a casual window shopper just strolling along all day wasting at the mall? Are you a social shopper or just wants to spend time with people? And how do you buy? Are you an impulsive buyer? Buy now, regret later? Or are you a strategic planner? Are you looking for a bargain or are you a luxury shopper that always wants to get the highest end price? Are you a minimalist or are you a big spender? Are you focused on functionality or trends and fashion? Are you haggling, arguing, and overanalyzing and being rough? Or are you generously overlooking and paying a little extra just to be nice? SubhanAllah, so much comes out at work. So much comes out when business is involved. Anybody can, mashallah, stand here and look righteous, read the Quran, making dua. How you behave at work, how you behave when you're hungry, these are very important aspects of our deen. And they are what proves that someone is not a fake. And this is something important because obviously, the Prophet was promoting a message. They were thinking to themselves, is this guy trying to just take advantage of us? In fact, Allah mentions it. أَمْتَسْأَلُهُمْ أَجْرًا فَهُمْ مِنْ مَغْرَمٍ مَحْبَلُونَ Do they think you're asking for some sort of payment? Are you trying to scam them? It's not asking for any money from you people. So this was a thought on the mind. It's a valid thought. But when you pay attention to how he acts in the market, then it really says a lot. So the point that I'd like to get at is this. As I gave a book earlier about character and the importance of establishing decent behavior, that we have to recognize that we are representing Islam in the way that we eat, in the way that we behave, in the way that we go to work, in the way that we have business transactions, how we deal with people when money is on the line. This is a very, very crucial point. And also the way we deal with our children. I'm just going to take a quick tangent here, subhanAllah. We know night after night we're saying kids are running around and creating mischief and this is a big problem. And I've asked many people, what should we do about it? They say, oh, no, just don't deal with it. Why not? Because the parents are going to take the kid's side instead of taking your side. If you actually start specifying, this kid is the problem, we're going to have to ask you not to come back. You can't come back till after Ramadan. This kid's going to be penalized. Whatever the case is, the big response that I have received from some people is that no, don't deal with this because parents will take the kid's side. That is the best way to destroy your child. So I really want everybody to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves, if their kid got in trouble, are you going to take the side of the kid and say, my child is perfect, he's an angel, I can't stand you people, I'm going to create all sorts of problems for you, and just become a big source of fitna and destroy the child in the process, making him so arrogant, or will you actually take the side of the message and say, you know what, if the kid is in trouble, I accept whatever penalization you guys have deemed to be correct. May Allah Ta'ala make us a boast to inshallah correct our behavior and in the name of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.